Thank you, Mary.
There must be some way to call the question so we can vote on appealing the ruling of the chair and then get on with it.
Not in a committee of less than 12 people.
Well, there has to be some way it can be done. You could filibuster all night.
We are a committee of more than 12, actually.
Not if we're not meeting with less than, if we are less than 12 people meeting, we are supposed to have open debate.
Well, we actually had 12 people meeting to begin with.
We are our quorum.
And if we had them to begin with, then that's what
it
counts,
stands,
I
that
believe.
Is correct, yes.
We did have 12. I'm
so
counting
Mary,
the vote.
So, Mary, your motion is to what?
I want to, then I wish to call the question and vote on the ruling of the appeal of the chair so that we can get on and maybe do something.
I'm withdrawing it. I'm withdrawing it. I asked the chair to allow Harrison to finish. That's all.
He did finish.
Your,
he stated his
I've
point.
Only got one very short point to make. And that simply is that by changing the meeting date with an email majority, it's very easy for a majority of to exclude the views of one member who can't make a particular date. And that's all I wanted to say.
All right, point of personal privilege. I'm going to explain again that I made an apology early on that it was a holiday and I had neglected to factor that in, and I realized that I could not make the meeting. Perhaps I should have asked Mary or someone else to chair it, but instead I asked to postpone it. And I had more than enough answers to support that move, and so I postponed the meeting by 1 week. And I'm sorry that you don't have an email and you're not in on that conversation.
No, I'm not speaking for myself.
I am, and I would have called you if, in fact, it had come to the numbers, but we had more than enough numbers, and so we went on. I'm going to entertain a motion
to
adjourn this meeting.
I have a point of order.
Yes?
Is that yes recognition?
I'm waiting.
Ms. Baker, try to control yourself. 2 points. The lateness of the hour.
Point of personal privilege.
I'm calling the members to order, and I am going to ask that Serene not repeat anything you have already said. We have been here much too long, largely because the member has been very repetitious and very long-winded, and I would really like you to cut it.
Serene,
if you can do it within 2 minutes, I would very much appreciate it. Thank you.
I believe your comment is out of order. No one else has been given a time limit, so suddenly imposed.
No one else has abused our patience to the extent that this member has.
Our patience.
I would appreciate your making your point and moving on. Thank you.
And I would appreciate your exercising the same level of courtesy that you managed to scrounge up for other people when I have the floor.
The member's out of order again.
And for
go
the
ahead,
person
please.
Who's having trouble, it's pound one to mute yourself.
The member's out of order. Would you make your point, please, or else we'll move on?
As a point of order, the lateness of the hour is no excuse for one member to say to another, get a life or shut up. So for the chair to use those as excuses for behavior when a member is out of order, I think is inappropriate, and I would caution the chair against such obvious bias in her behavior. Secondly, the fact is that you cannot change a date by email. There was much debate about the date, the 16th and the 23rd. I, in fact, asked for the 23rd, asking that it not be done on the 16th. At great length, you insisted it must be done on the 16th, and in fact, by then switching the date based on, you know, whether or not people responded on an email list, which is entirely illegal, you know, this meeting is, in fact, I would question the legality of this meeting or any decisions made at this meeting.
Do you have a motion to make to that effect? Or
that was a point of order.
Your objection is noted.
Rule on the point of order, Carolyn.
And
that's
who
your
is
job.
Next, please?
Rule on the point of order. There were 2 points of order.
The point of order is dilatory.
Mary Berg on the stack.
Mary.
There's not any need to declare the whole meeting illegal. There's nothing whatever was done in the meeting that I can see. It really is rather moot. I would really like to move on.
All right. Let us do that. Does anyone want to speak to the transparency reports point that is on the agenda? That is, moves the report of the 2003-2004 election as drafted by Terry Bruchus be made public. Ted, since you made that motion, do you want to speak
that
first?
A point of order. The first item was actually not that. The first item in order of the business as we transferred it from the other, from the previous meeting, was the long motion about regularizing votes. We did one paragraph, and there were seven more paragraphs. That comes before these things.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Because that was
that's
older
right.
business than what Ted's motions were.
That
it had
correct.
Languished for 4 months, I believe.
That is the...
And so we would be on paragraph two, I believe, of that, or Terry's revisions, which I did print out here, but I don't know how we're going to talk about it now.
I have a point
of order and a point of information.
Point of order.
The point of order is that there was a motion to adjourn on the floor, and we neither voted on that, nor was it withdrawn. So what's the situation?
Yes, we were discussing that. You're absolutely correct.
Oh, yes.
And your point of information?
Do we, in fact, still have quorum?
It doesn't matter.
We
it
have
depends
enough.
On what our vote is.
Well, we had a quorum, so if we have... How many people are on the call? I don't know. LeVarn, are you still here?
We need 8 to have a quorum.
So, therefore, you need...
5
need 5 people to pass anything.
All right. Is there any more discussion of the adjournment motion? No, then let's take a vote on that.
Yes.
Okay.
Terry?
Wait. I need, sorry, my papers.
Sorry.
All right.
Sorry, yes.
Yes, there is discussion.
Oh, there's discussion.
Wait a minute. Point of personal privilege.
Yes.
And the person is not me, but it's the entire listening audience and the people who pay for this board, for this election, for this governance, and for the whole network. And this is being heard by as many as have or will ever listen to it. And if you don't all really feel ashamed at that, I don't know what else to say. Well, there is no need to discuss at this hour a motion to adjourn, either withdraw it or get on with it. This is absolutely disgraceful.
I stand corrected in admitting a discussion. We had already decided to move to a vote, and so I would like you to proceed.
At the very beginning, as soon as it was determined that, in fact, these motions are debatable, I did say that I wanted to be on the staff. You called a number of people before you called me. You went on to a number of other things. I would still like to speak.
I'm going to rule that as out of order.
Well, if everyone
rules
the
call. Rule what? If it's debatable and I wish to debate, how is that out of order?
It is dilatory at this hour, and considering
Madam
the
Chair,
discussion we have already had.
The motion
had,
is debate. The discussion has not been held.
Wish
I have
to rule
not been ready.
Overrule
I
the
would like to speak.
Would you wish to rule to overrule the chair?
No, I'd like to speak.
All right. It's out of order. At this point.
No, you
point of order.
Mary, would you proceed with the vote?
I have a please? Point of order, please.
Yes? What is it?
You're right. Courtesy is based on the time of day and who we're speaking to. My question, my initial
that
question.
That is totally out of
my
order. Your comments are,
my
are
question
abrasive and inflammatory. There is no need for that. There's
what was that? My comments
let
are what?
Let us not, no, never mind.
My comments are what? That's insane.
Order.
Please, catch yourself. Listen, my question was, this whole adjournment discussion came up when I asked when we would adjourn. And your rather rude, flip answer was, well, I guess, whenever.
Whenever anyone moves, that's not correct. What she said was
correct.
When anyone moves to adjourn,
that's
which is
exactly.
totally
order.
When, in fact, we
I'm
could simply have said, after the next agenda item, after the next two agenda items, in about half an hour, a civil answer to a civil question.
Your comments are out of order. The member is
it.
Out of order, and I'm going to ask you to be quiet so that we can proceed with the motion, with the vote to adjourn. I'm ruling you out of order. Mary?
move to adjourn.
Yes, you would.
Okay, Mary Berg votes yes. Carolyn?
I'll pass.
Okay, Terry, he's gone. Patty? She's muted. Melinda, she's gone. Richard?
Yes.
Serene?
Pass.
Serene passes? Is that correct?
Yes.
All right.
Yes.
Zarina?
Zarina?
I'm sorry.
Serena's gone.
Serena's gone? Okay. Ted?
I'm going to pass.
LaVarn?
Pass.
Carol's gone. Harrison?
Sour cream and the guacamole on the side.
Yes, let's adjourn.
Okay, you vote yes. Don? Nope, Don what?
No. No.
You vote no. Okay, those passed. Okay, Carolyn?
I'm going to vote no.
Okay. Patty, are you there?
I'll vote no.
Is that Patty? Who is that?
Yes, it's Patty. Patty.
Okay, and
Patty.
You're voting no. Okay.
Uh-huh.
Okay, and let's see. Serene?
Yes.
You vote yes. Ted?
No.
LaVarn?
No.
Okay, we have one.
I want to change my vote to no.
Who said that?
Richard.
Oh, all right, you've changed your vote to no. All right, I'll change my vote to no. Okay. I don't know what I'm doing now anyway. One, two, two yes, one, two, three, four, five, six, seven, no.
We have two-thirds no's, so it's done.
That's right.
All right. Let us continue. Does everyone have the motion in front of them, regularizing membership status?
Yes. Well, I have what I have.
I don't know that we have.
Terry had sent out a revision.
This is LaVarn. I think I copied it, I believe, at the bottom of the revised, of the updated agenda.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's there at the bottom.
Okay.
At the bottom of
Mary
the...
Oh,
and it was on the thing that Mary sent out also.
Yeah.
Oh, on page two, Mary?
Well, in my printout, yeah. It was
it's
motion
right
on regularized membership.
Business.
First part, it's unfinished business. First part, a divided motion on regularizing membership status, whereas some people have been registered as members. That's the paragraph we had passed previously. And then this is Terry's revision that he sent after the meeting, in March.
Oh.
And this was the language that we had got to at the time of adjournment. We hadn't voted on it, but we had made these changes, that the PNB shall direct the executive director to have each general manager conduct a survey of their station to assess the scope, status, and location of these gift memberships and advise the committee and methodology used in this survey. Now, Terry, in response to several points that were raised, had a substitution that the PNB shall direct the executive director to develop a uniform methodology with details copied to the elections committee, by which each general manager shall conduct a survey of their station to assess the number and status of these gift memberships. So that is the revised, the latest revision, and I think that's the one we should be considering.
Mary, I'm still looking for that. May I ask you to temporarily chair the meeting while I locate that?
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Does anyone else have any problem with the language of that, or... Does anyone have the language?
In the interim, would you be willing to read it again?
Sure. This is Terry's revision that he had made in response to various concerns that arose in the discussion on March 12th, the uniformity of the procedure. And so the language is that the PNB shall direct the executive director to develop a uniform methodology with details copied to the election committee, by which each general manager shall conduct a survey of their station to assess the number and status of these gift memberships.
Don White on the stack.
And that is paragraph two. That's a substitute to the that Terry has revised to the original paragraph two. Okay, Don?
Well, I just want to be sure that I understand what we're talking about. This is where people receive memberships as gifts,
mm-hmm.
and we're trying to determine a way to authenticate their voting rights. Am I on the right track here? Because I'm a little...
We were trying to determine a way of finding that these people actually, since they are, in a sense, involuntary subscribers, did they...
Right.
Yeah, are they... It's a way of preventing people from subscribing, a lot of people who would never vote or aren't, you know, simply just to...
Yes.
Well, or whatever.
Yeah. Well, the reason I raise the issue, the motion that you read does not address the problem at all, does it? It's just a motion to get a clear view of how many of these people there are and where they are and how many each station has. Is that correct?
That's, I think that's a fair thing to say. Does anyone who's left on the call feel that... Does that reflect pretty much what we were doing in the March 12th meeting, what our concerns were? Anyone want to speak to that? Don't all talk at once.
Well,
either they're comatose or it does reflect things accurately. I don't know which it is. Pardon me? Harrison?
Has discussion been exhausted?
Is this Harrison?
Yes.
Okay, has the discussion... No, it's not the discussion that's exhausted. No, if you have
no.
something to say, please.
Yeah, this is Carolyn. I'd like to get on the stack.
Okay, well, you're back on. You could chair.
You may continue if you don't mind. You seem to have more stack than I do.
She's very anxious to chair, I'm sure.
Yeah.
Okay, well, you want to know... Okay.
I just wanted to... the dentist.
Yes. I just wanted to make a point about the memberships. One of the questions was if it would be possible to locate the information in the database. And I did check with our premiums director,
mm-hmm.
and he said that, yes, it certainly is in there. They keep records of who gives gifts to whom and when and how much. So it's a question of locating the field and extracting it from the database. And I propose that one way around this would be to then write a letter to these people, simply asking them to affirm that they did indeed want to be members. A two-step process.
Okay, so...
So it's not an impossible task, is my only point.
Would you be... Is that... and are you putting that forth as an amendment to Terry's language?
No, I think or? I think that was sort of procedural and that could be handled if in fact, the matter were approved, I think that would be... Since we know it's possible, I don't think we need to write it in there. Do you?
Okay. Well, I just wanted to... Okay.
Don White on the stack.
Okay, Don.
Well, Carolyn and others, it seems to me that this motion does not really offer a solution to the dilemma. The motion actually is a data collection motion. But it seems to me, maybe I'm confused. Are we trying to resolve, and I think we are, a process for authenticating the voting rights of someone who receives a gift, involuntarily receives a gift of a membership? So it seems like the letter you refer to would be a legitimate part of this motion, because then it actually moves toward resolving whether this is a voting member or just someone who got a present. Isn't that the dilemma we have, is trying to figure out if these are voting members?
Yes, I think so. The ultimate motivation was to make sure that every person who was interested and wanted to vote was actually going to get a legitimate ballot so it wouldn't be questioned later. And I think, yes, that would... Well, the letter is one possibility. Another possibility is to ask people at renewal time if they'd now like to become real members because the first time around they had a gift. So there are various steps stages and ways. I didn't want to pigeon
right.
into one particular method that would then, you know, make obviate any other approach.
I see.
Can I have a, this is Harrison, I'd like a point of information.
I'm sorry, Harrison? Yeah, okay.
Is our aim here to try to find if there are members who aren't interested in voting?
I think the aim initially, Carolyn, actually, why don't you speak to that? Because you were the one who originally had the concerns about the gift subscriptions, I believe, or one of the people.
One of the problems is that under a membership organization rules, under California code, people cannot give someone a membership as a gift.
Basically, can I just interrupt, Karen? The point you're saying is that he can't give somebody voting rights.
Right.
Yeah, okay, thank you. That's right. That's what it was.
Mm-hmm.
I forgot.
So that was the aim, was to legitimize those people who probably would want to vote, as a matter of fact, and it would certainly increase the number of voters. But we just wanted to find them and identify them and make them legitimate.
Does that clarify? Well, Harrison, is your question answered before we move on?
I'm catching up, I guess.
Are you kind of getting, are you honing in on it? Okay.
Well, one of the obvious problems here is increasing the qualified voters, which increases the difficulty of reaching quorum. So if someone gets a gift and is out of the loop and doesn't understand, so there has to be a process. I mean, I would actually favor, but I don't know if this is in order, I would actually favor the idea that someone who receives a gift does not become a voter, does not have voting rights until they renew on their own. But if we are going to move in the direction of giving voting rights to people who get gifts, it's very important that they get a letter and be clear about their voting rights, because if they're listed as a voter, I don't know how big a block of people this is, but it would be factored into the quorum, wouldn't it?
Absolutely.
Well,
Carolyn,
Harrison again.
I heard Carolyn. Did you ask before Harrison or after?
No, after.
Okay, so mm-hmm. Harrison.
People can correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that at some stations, people who have gift memberships do not receive ballots, and at some they do. In which case,
really?
I guess we ought to probably in the aim of trying to reach a quorum, nobody who gets a gift membership should automatically get a ballot and be a voter or a member, but we should try to, as was suggested, get those people to become more active and join on their own and become voting members. But perhaps I'm mistaken in my information. But I'm pretty sure that at KPFK, gift memberships do not receive ballots, or didn't recently.
Okay, Carolyn?
Yes, that would be very interesting to know, Harrison, and I think if you could find someone to
perhaps Don
state
can
that.
Confirm my impression.
Well, maybe the membership or the premiums department would be able to authenticate that, but I think it's important to know, and that's what I'm afraid of, that there are different practices. But as to Don's suggestion, unfortunately, we can't have two tiers of memberships. The only classes of memberships allowed in the bylaws are listeners and staff, and you can't have two quality of members, you know, voting and non-voting. That's not allowed. So I'm afraid that a lot of gift memberships have been getting ballots. And the point would be to find out how many and who.
May I put myself on the stack?
You're chairman.
I don't know. Okay.
Yeah,
I don't
know.
You can do anything you want.
You can find yourself out of order, too, Mary, if you want.
I have found myself out of order for years. Do I have to do it publicly?
No, please don't.
You know, a lot of these gift subscriptions, and I spend a lot of time in the phone room, it'd be like somebody's mother to their daughter, and the daughter knows about it, and it's, there's no reason at all to say they don't have voting rights. So it seems to me, and to wait until they renew means that you deprive a legitimate person from exercising their rights. So it seems to me that of the things that have been put forth, a letter just ascertaining, you know, yes, they want to do this, the thing that was put out at last meeting, somebody suggested that, you know, if they don't want to vote, they're not going to vote. But that, I would think that putting out a letter might be the way to do it. The number of, all that we can track in our database is if someone has paid for a subscription in someone else's name. And there can be a myriad of reasons. The person wants to sign up by a deadline, or, you know, and they, so this person pays for it or whatever. Lots of times it is family members or friends. So I don't see anything else to do about it. I think of the two things that would be erring, whatever, to deny rights to someone who legitimately should have them is worse than giving rights to someone that maybe didn't want them, or it, I'm not sure how they wouldn't qualify, actually, that, you know, that wouldn't exercise the rights.
Who
is that?
This is Patty.
Wait, a man wanted to be on, but I didn't get it. Oh, it's Harrison. Okay, so
Harrison,
I thought I heard
Richard.
Two people.
You did.
Okay.
And Patty. Harrison, Richard,
yeah.
And Patty.
Oh, you spoke before time. Patty? Okay. Okay,
yeah.
So Harrison?
I think perhaps I'm going to make Richard's point, which is I think he says it's true that California corporate law says that you can't pay for another person's vote.
Mm-hmm.
So that, although I think Mary's correct, that we should try to err on the side of giving people the right to vote where we can, with the caveat that we want to be careful about the quorum, is correct. I don't think that I think we may not have the legal authority to do what we want to do.
Okay. Richard?
Well, I'd have to go look that point up. I've heard it mentioned. I haven't bothered to find it. But the point is, I think we want to have as many people participating. I think the letter's a good idea because what it does is it clarifies intentions. You know, in other words, the whole point is if somebody really wants to be a member, I'm glad to have them. If somebody's just, you know, sent something, like, oh, sure, well, yeah, you know, what's this all about? That's a whole different kettle of fish, and I think what Don said is true. We don't want to be stretching our quorum requirements with a bunch of people who have no interest in voting. We're just, you know, asking for trouble by doing that. So I think the letter clarifying what they're doing, if they say, yes, I do want to be a voting member, fine. Then they've shown an intention to do it, and I don't have a problem with that, unless it's, that would be strictly prohibited by law. But otherwise, if they say, no, I don't want to be a vote, then we just consider it a donation, and they're not a member, and they don't put on the voter rolls. And
okay.
That keeps everything pretty clean.
Okay, so you favor the letter. Okay, Patty?
I thought basically what the issue is with this voting and this gift memberships is that somebody can't just come up with $25,000 and buy 1,000 people's memberships so they can get a vote. And so how do we prevent that? Isn't that our big fear, or no one really cares about that? I think that's the point of this no-gift membership thing. So this, is, to me, is what I would be looking at.
Well,
yeah, George Soros takes over Pacifica.
Well, there you go.
Well, Carolyn,
well, someone said earlier, spoke to that, saying that the first thing we want to know is how many people fit this category. And Patty, I think, is addressing the same thing. So maybe that's the direction we want to go in as to what steps come first and second with regard to this language. Okay, who wants to be on the stack?
Carolyn.
Okay.
And Harrison once more.
Is the language that Terry proposed something that was proposed after the fact, right? Because
it was mentioned.
That.
He just simply crafted the language. He drafted this language out of the concerns that went on in the discussion, in the lengthy discussion.
Well, I would like to move that we adopt this because he addresses it, by which each general manager shall conduct a survey of their station to assess the number and status of these gift memberships, point one, and advise the committee of the methodology used in the survey, point
well,
two.
Well, you're mixing, okay, he had, okay, his language here, the revision.
Oh, he revised that again?
Well, because you actually were concerned about that the PNB shall direct the executive director to develop a uniform methodology.
Right.
With
right.
details copied to the elections committee by which each general manager shall conduct a survey.
Okay.
And his explanation here, he says, since the word scope is unclear and the word location is legacy language from before the division of the motion, he was about, before he had to go, he had this language. He just didn't get to say it.
Mm-hmm.
So we have the what we came up with at the meeting, which was that the PNB shall direct the executive director to have each general manager conduct a survey of their station to assess the scope, status, and location of these GIF memberships and advise the committee of the methodology used. And then he was going to revise it. We could combine the two if we want. Or how do we want to proceed?
I'm still hunting for the text. Do you have a date of that motion?
It was February 12th. It was about 11 that night. On the 12th.
February 12th.
I'm sorry, March 12th. I just threw a month away.
Well, Don White here.
Okay, Don.
Well, actually, maybe what we should do is ball rolling and start the process moving forward. Incidentally, I'm driving back from Montclair, California, so I hope my motor is not too loud here on the freeway. Maybe what I would support is the idea of, you know, having a process to find out how big a problem this is. And I think we should also ask how stations deal with GIF subscriptions now, whether they go on voter rolls automatically or whether they don't. It seems like we're not sure exactly how GIF subscriptions are handled right now. So, I mean, just to get the ball rolling, I know it's late in the East, and maybe we should, I would support a motion that simply, the motion with Terry starting, with possibly adding a little bit of survey on how these subscriptions are now dealt with. But if that would complicate things, just Terry's wording, just to get this process moving forward.
So you would support that. I skipped Harrison. I'm sorry. I should have put you on before John. So.
Thank you. I just want to mention my motivation in buying a GIF subscription and what I think the motivation was before we had elections. And I think we shouldn't entirely lose sight of the fact that GIF memberships have been used to expand the listenership and the participation in Pacifica stations. I had a neighbor who I was hoping would listen to KPFK more often, and I hope that if he got a letter containing a program schedule, that he might become more interested in listening to the station and participating.
Mm-hmm.
And I hope that we won't preclude that outreach method in whatever we do.
Good point. Very good point. I'm just going
to
stick.
You know, we used to buy. We used to have a fundraising technique actually to
mm-hmm.
go on when I probably shouldn't, where we would ask people to buy subscriptions for prisoners.
I was about to mention that, and that's a thing that has been brought up, and we have listeners that have complained, how do we do this now? So, and that's an important thing.
Yeah, Carolyn?
Yeah.
A barn, Elsa.
This started for me the year that someone announced on the air that they had $500 for any prisoner who wanted to sign up. And to me that sounded like stacking the rolls a little bit, and I was quite alarmed at that technique. So there has to be a way of doing what Harrison wants to do, which is encourage people to listen, and I think that might mean designing a letter or a membership form that says, if this is a gift, we simply need you to sign here and return your indication that you do indeed wish to become a member.
Mm-hmm.
If it is not a gift, your own signature, you know, on the check was enough or whatever. So I think that's easy enough, but I do think there is a potential problem there, and we don't want to scotch the outreach, you know, of friends and neighbors and family members. But there is a limit.
Okay, that's a good point. A form, that makes sense, Lamar.
Yes, thank you. Yeah, I think that
line with something that the California law says that you cannot give, or you can give a gift membership, but they will not have voting. Like, I think we just need to investigate that and see if it's correct. And if it is correct in terms of sending out a letter, I'm not really sure how you could handle that, since basically we'll say that, you know, you receive the gift membership, but it does not come with voting rights. And that, so what we need to do, I think, is to run Memphis or whatever database that you use, and to determine, again, how much, you know, what is, you know, just run, you know, how many gift memberships that you have. You know, what is the amount that's given? Is it $25 or is it $10? You know, a program schedule, but $10 would not, you know, the minimum is supposed to be $25 to allow you voting rights. So, you know, you could have like a number of like $5, $10 memberships in order to just get out a program schedule. So again, I think that we can run three instances of how many gift memberships we currently have, what is the dollar amount, and then when you get to then determine in terms of the California law about, you know, a gift membership and whether that comes with or without voting rights, then, you know, we'll determine, you know, how many or what is the number of volume that we would subtract from the in order to determine quorum. And
how many we would subtract?
Right, how many gift memberships we would subtract in order to determine what is the total membership that has voting rights. So we would subtract the gift memberships if it is a fact, and if that's been the ruling, that those people cannot vote if they meet the $25 minimum.
Oh, you mean so you would subtract all the ones that were less than 25? Is that what you mean?
No, you would subtract all. If the law is that those people do not have votes, right. But then the letter thing, I think, is good, because if you send a letter out to say that, you know, you've been given this gift membership in the amount of X dollars, that in order to become a voting member, you know, it would, if it's less than 25, you know, it requires $25 membership. And, you know, if you'd like to become a voting member, it would require, you know, $25 or 3 hours of volunteer service at the station. So I think that, yeah, maybe we can kind of like go into like, maybe outline what are the different options, what are the different possibilities, and in the meantime, again, ask the general managers to run in the database, you know, the gift membership, the amount, and to determine what is the volume that's in the database.
Okay. May I begin?
This is Patty.
Oh, Patty. Okay.
Patty.
Go ahead, and then I'll go after that. Okay, Patty.
Another issue is subsidized memberships. I believe we also had the issue at WBAI where someone offered like partial funding to memberships of, I believe it was prisoners, and how would we address that? I mean, that has to be included too. You know, someone like a matching fund for them or something for, you know.
Okay.
I recall, does someone else, Carolyn, do you remember about that?
I think I mentioned that, yes. I remember the $500 that was announced as being available for anybody who wanted a membership, any prisoners who wanted a membership. And that alarmed me because I had no idea that, you know, anyone getting a membership knew what they were getting. There was no indication of that. So I don't know if that went through or not. But that sort of thing is alarming. It's as Richard has pointed out, buying votes essentially.
Well, I'm going to recognize myself a minute. It occurs to me as I'm hearing people, I don't think it makes two classes of membership. You don't have to pay money to get a subscription, because already there is the possibility of working 3 hours. And the fact that you can qualify to be a voter two ways does not, you know, that of itself does not create two classes of membership. So I don't really see why a gift subscription would create a different class of membership. You can qualify in any number of ways. I personally, I think the form is a good idea. because that would be very simple, and you say, congratulations, whatever, you have a little form, and just fill out this so we can put you on our roster. And if they don't fill it out, they don't get on the voting roster because they haven't responded. And that might be one way to do that. Does anyone, do we want to come up with something that we want to, you know, can we get something kind of done before, about this language?
This is Patty. I mean, would this be something to consult the election supervisor about as well? And also, isn't there something in the bylaws themselves concerning these gift memberships? I thought there was language in there.
Well, who wants to research? I will research it.
I'm on this, you know, I'm out of town, so I can't look at much, but I thought we had, there was something about only one person. You can only pay for yourself and one person, or did that get wiped out or something?
I thought there was some language.
That
was proposed. I'm not sure it was ever, excuse me, for answering that.
No, go ahead.
I think that was proposed. I'm not sure that it was ever passed. I will search for that.
Mm. Oh, this is LaVarne.
Yes.
LaVarne, are you? Okay.
Yes. Just because, you know, all of these questions that we have in terms of the research, maybe we can just do a little working group, a couple of us who have time, and then get back to the committee.
Could you say that again? It was kind of distorted, or else my headphone is, or my ears are, but I didn't get what
you said. No, LaVarne, your voice is distorted for some reason.
Thank
are you?
Not
yeah,
me.
She. No, it's not you. You're not distorted. It's LaVarne.
My brain could be. So could you kind of...
There's no question why that should not be, but anyway.
Well, you weren't before, but now you are, and I don't know if you switched phones.
It's my earpiece, I think. Never mind.
No.
Maybe what we could do is to get a working group to go over all of these questions that we have raised and determine, you know, about the California Code, look at the bylaws, and maybe back like within a week or so to our chair pro tem and to the rest of the committee try to answer all of these questions.
Great.
I would agree to that. I think
that's
a good idea.
Motion?
Yes.
Okay, great.
The motion.
I will second that.
Does anyone object? Do I hear any objections? Hearing none, we're going to form a working group. Let's see. Who wants to be on the working group?
I do. I
want to.
I want to. We're just crazy people here, I tell you. We are so nuts.
Well,
okay.
I think we're so excited about getting work done, we're volunteering now.
Yeah.
Okay.
It must be very late.
I tell you, I guess maybe we're the ones that are late, as in the late so-and-so. Okay.
Now, a point of clarification. Is this working group around the sole issue of gifts? Because I would join that. Or is a working group that's going to deal with a lot of different issues?
No, I think it's basically the gifts. And so that goes to the, you know, gift memberships and the database and how we
or subsidized memberships if that's something that happens in New York, that sort of thing. It's all in that category, right, LaVarne?
Yeah.
Yes.
Okay.
Well, yeah, I would be willing to work on that working group also. And I can do some research at KPFK and figure out how we're handling it now.
So I have Carolyn and Don and me and LaVarne. Are you want to be on it or?
Wonderful. Sounds good.
No, I'm asking LaVarne if she wants to be on
it. Yes.
Okay. Okay. Anybody else want to be on it?
This is Harrison. I'd like to serve.
Oh, great. I'm going to need your phone number.
Sorry.
Who?
Who?
I've got now five people. Is there anybody else? Does anybody else want to be on it?
Oh, that's fine. Thank you.
Okay. Great.
Wonderful.
Okay, so Harrison, did you want to speak? Is that?
No, I wanted to be on the working group.
Yeah, okay. Well, what if somebody wanted to do something?
No, I think that was it. I was talking out of turn.
Oh, well, but you can have a turn.
My turn was congratulations to us for forming a
working
group. That would be nice to get
this is great.
Moving. Yes, good.
Yeah. Well, so what we're going to do is do that, and then we want to see who's going to do what, or should we just agree to meet, let's see, by phone? We can't. Harrison, do you have access to Terry's email? Like, do you get email that way, or?
Terry's been kind enough to communicate through Carolyn for me recently.
I mean, but is it a thing that you can kind of do? I'm trying to think how we're going to go further with this. What's our next step?
Try to choose a date to meet? I don't know.
Don White here, when you just to get on the stack, not to speak now, but to get on the stack.
Okay, well, is there anybody? I don't think you're it.
Well, I was just thinking that maybe Harrison and I at KPFK and others at other signal areas could begin by going to the appropriate people inside the station and trying to get information about how many gift subscriptions, how they're dealt with on the database. Are they automatically sent ballots? And maybe we should be information gatherers for the next few days.
Okay, so you're in Los Angeles. That's a good idea. So you'll do K. And can you guys get together? Do you have contact?
Yes. Yes, Harrison and I, we're old friends, and we'll...
So you have each other's... you have all each other's data and records and everything.
Yes,
okay.
And
that's
I'll...
That's wonderful.
I will go to BAI.
Okay.
And LaVarne and Mary, perhaps you can do.
Okay.
Today. So we just have two stations left.
Is Ted still on the call?
I am.
Ted? Oh, you
I'm
are?
Here.
Oh. Oh, okay. So can you, do you want to do anything on this? Do you want to find out?
This is Patty.
Patty?
Oh, no, don't. I'm just telling you my battery's running out, so I won't be able to be on the call much longer. What is the issues that are left, if I could ask, please?
Well, we're just going to see what this committee, you know, we're just gathering, finding out who can find out what. If Ted can find out anything about Texas, or should we, how do we do that? And
or one of the, if Ted is not going to be serving on the committee, one of us could be in touch with... Dwayne or someone down there.
Oh, okay.
And find
them. You can be in touch with me, and if you'll assign some tasks or specific tasks for me in this regard, I'll do them, but I don't want to be a member of the committee because my plate is just overflowing.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, if we need to, we'll do that, and then and we could also I will talk. I'm going to be talking to a couple of people from Texas, so I could ask them.
Great.
And then we'll ask Serena or someone to help
and then,
with W.
Okay. Now, as to anything else, I don't think we can go any further. I think maybe we're not going to try to craft any more language on this tonight. Maybe it's a good time for us to adjourn. It's getting on for midnight back
here.
I
think so, Mary. Thank you very much for taking
yes,
over.
I agree.
I appreciate that.
Okay.
I move to adjourn.
Okay, we have
a motion.
I would
vote yes to that.
Okay, well, do I hear any objections?
Excuse me, this is LaVarne. I'd like to suggest.
You want
I'm
to
sorry.
Object?
I'm sorry. Never mind.
Did you say you wanted to object or subject?
No, I said I wanted to discuss it, but I've changed my mind. No.
LaVarne.
Oh.
LaVarne, you be good, or I'll have a Los Angeles dinner served to you.
You know, you didn't get sick down there. That's because you guys eat this stuff all the time.
I got this Los Angeles dinner I'd like to serve up, which is just to point out that we decided not to adjourn the people who were wanting to get by and get something done got one thing done, but we didn't ever get to Ted Weisskopf's proposals.
Well, no, but gee, we did at least. This other one has been waiting. I think it's at least 4 months, and we haven't. We've hardly. This is progress, folks.
We're clearing the decks, Ted, and we'll get there eventually.
Oh, that's right.
Mary and Carolyn, I've never had this happen to me before. My agenda items always get addressed almost immediately.
They do.
If you believe that, I'll sell you something.
Okay, yeah, right. I believe you'll sell me some Los Angeles dinners. Thanks, God. Oh, geez. I could get speechless.
Give you those three.
I could really get speechless over that.
Well, now, you heard what Dave said. He said he thought it wasn't the
It was Robert's Rules.
Mary, I'd like you to stay on the call for just a moment before you hang up.
Okay. I probably don't know how to hang up anyway by this time.
Can we vote on the adjournment question?
I didn't hear any objections. I think we have adjourned, actually.
We were being spoofed by
Mary?
Attention.
Yeah.
Anybody who wants to listen.
Okay, good night, everyone. Thank you.
Good night. Don. Thanks. We'll be in touch now. Oh, we're going to communicate by email, and you and Harrison are going to get together so we can email you, and you'll get hold of him.
Wonderful.
Right. I have Harrison's number. I'll call him.
Great.
Oh, you've got, okay.
Great.
And then maybe you can give his number. Maybe, Harrison, you could give your number to the rest
of us.
I'm
pretty sure Don has it, don't you, Don?
Yes. Mm-hmm. If it hasn't changed lately, I do have it.
Well, you guys confer about the number privately, and then let us know Harrison's number or the rest of the people on the little group.
Right.
Okay, great.
All right. Good night.
Thank you so much.
Bye-bye.
Good night.
Okay.
Rest in
peace. Bye, Richard.